Go to verse 30 of Mark chapter 9. I got a few scriptures. But let's read in Mark chapter 9, verse 30. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves, by the way? I've been on my heart a couple of days. Talked to Sister Collins some about it. But they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and the servant of all. I want to preach a little while on second fiddle. I got it because Andrew is a man that they call, he was a second fiddle. And go with me now. John, the first chapter, 40th verse. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him, and Andrew, Simon Peter's was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I'm in verse 40. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpreted a stone. Now, he went on down and said, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and say to him, follow me. But after Andrew found Jesus, he went straight and found his brother, Simon Peter. And you know, we all talk about Peter, but if it hadn't been for Andrew, we'd never heard of Peter. And I love that. I love that. You know why? Because Andrew's mentioned three times in the Bible. And each time he's bringing somebody to the Lord. The second time, what's he doing? He's bringing a little lad with a few loaves and fishes, glory to God, to Jesus. It was Andrew who brought the little lad. Can I tell you something? I was one time away preaching, and I pulled out Richard Cunningham's tape, and I began to listen to it. He said, don't worry about trying to expand your ministry. Just try to deepen your ministry, and God will expand your ministry. Brothers and sisters, I feel like I'm the least of all of you. I'm not trying to be better than any of these preacher boys. I ain't going to preach long. I know it right now. So if somebody's got something burning, the pastor's already said to jump in next. So you all fight it over amongst you. But how many preachers do you know in tent meetings? They sit there. They wonder, man, will I preach it down? Will you preach it down? I ain't no contest to preach it down. I'm in a living for the Lord. I'm trying to get help from God. I told one pastor, I said, I don't like preaching those camp meetings. Because sometimes it's like a show. They want to just see how high you can preach it. And I was asked to preach at a camp meeting last year, a day service. The day I was supposed to preach, the Holy Ghost took over. So they backed me up another day. I was getting nervous. He was a great preacher, the great pastor. And by the help of God, I won't tell where it's at. I'm bad for naming names and naming places. But I got shoes on, we'll leave no skid marks, so I may have a little run tonight. But I was scheduled to preach, and man, I was nervous. I mean, I was nervous. I'd preached at that church before, and I knew some of them guys, and they sat back and they say, okay, now move me to something great. I tell you, some of the hardest ones to preach to is preachers that never get out and do nothing for God, and they expect you to come down with something from the stars and tickle them and take them higher to the heaven. Why don't you get out and do something for God and quit trying to be entertained all the time? I get tired of trying to preach to people, and all they want me is to tickle their funny bone. Probably wasn't too annoying. Probably more just zeal, wasn't it? But you know what? They backed me up another day. I was nervous as could be. And I got up there, and for 3 days, I had a message on my heart. You know, let me tell you. Now, I'm on my message mark where I'm going to preach my camp meeting, okay? I'm off my notes, so I got to just go by the way I feel. But when God called me to preach, I said, God, I don't think I'm nothing. And my pastor and them have encouraged me on my holding up integrity and building up my self-will. But sometimes we go too far the other way, and we just got to stay in that happy medium. And I said, Lord, I don't think I'm nothing. I was working down there at Neosho, Missouri. My brother was called to preach. I said, Lord, I'm just calling myself because Mark's called. For a solid year, I wrestled with the call. And I finally said, God, if you're big enough to call me, you're big enough to open a door. I'm not going to go knock no doors down. You know what? It wasn't. But the very next day, a lady come to me, said, my dad wants you to take care of his church on Sunday. He's got to go up to Missouri to take mom to the hospital. He's got to go to Columbia, Missouri. I said, Mary, you've just confirmed something. There's two things you must know. Number one, God's been calling me to preach, and he's used you to confirm my call. Number two, it's going to be the first time I preach in your church. Is that going to be all right with your dad? Dad said he wants Mike Barker. He didn't say nobody else. He had an old dorm full of preachers to pick through. But God wanted to use a second fiddle to prove himself to God and a bunch of people and old Mike Barker. Well, I just went ahead, went through the door. You know what they said about me, Brother Johnson? I won't hit you in the chest this time like I did that one time to scare you. I'll come up close to you. They said he almost got anointed. That's what they said about my first time preaching. The pastor had a wreck, slid off a bridge in an icy storm. I got the call just before church. Here the kids are all crying. They're taking mom to the hospital. Now dad's in the hospital. I thought, oh God, what a time to preach the first sermon. The whole church is tore up about the pastor having a wreck. But you know what? I went ahead, went with what God gave me. I preached my best. Hallelujah. And I'm still preaching today. Glory to God. Sometimes you're preaching high. Sometimes you're down. And it's a struggle from the start. And you never break through. But you just keep on going. You know why? Because we're not in a contest. Hope every one of you are fiddle players when I get done tonight, because we need a bunch of second fiddles. I said we need a bunch of second fiddles. You better amen me every once in a while. Man, you preached outstanding the other night. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I've not heard one of these guys ever flop. I mean, sometimes they may get into a little bit of a struggle, but I've learned a long time ago, sometimes God will slow me down and make me feel like I ain't preaching nothing when I'm busting things wide open and preaching right directly to the heart of the matter. Sit back in your seat now. I'm going to give you some news. I got in that camp meeting on that Saturday day, and nervous as could be, Leon Buzzard, all other great evangelists, all other great preachers was there, and I got up with something that I had preached at this church, and it flopped. I heard you all swallow. I heard you all turn pages in the Bible. I watched some of you nod off to sleep. As I preached my guts out on the message I thought God give me, the devil said, that thing will never preach. But you know what? God did have a place for it. And when God spoke to my heart, I preached it again. As I was led by the Spirit, one guy said, ah, you preach some doubles here, Mike. I just about preached another double tonight here, because I know some people have not heard the messages God's give me. And if the Lord says preach, I'm just preaching to that one. You obey me. You're not trying to be somebody to let them build you up. You're not trying to be some talent that they'll say, oh, that was pretty. You're second fiddle, boy. Here come Jesus. And John said, there he is. Now, behold the Lamb of God. He said, now I must decrease. He must increase. We have a whole lot of preachers still in the ministry today. If they learn that lesson of how to decrease and play second fiddle and lift him up. My wife, I don't ever brag on myself, Brother Dave. That's best, ain't it? Because I couldn't think of all the nice things to say about me. A lot of people can, so I just don't ever brag on myself. They can think a whole lot of nicer things to say. Brother Ronnie, I tore that place apart. They were standing on their feet on a little simple message God gave me. And I preached, and the man told me, he said, I've sold more tapes off that message than any other message in this meeting. And they had Brother Leon Buzzard and other preachers there. He said, man, and you know what, Brother Combs, I even got a request when I walked into a church in Kentucky to preach that message. I said, thank God I've been feeling led to do that. That confirms it. And I preached it again. And a pastor said, I want you to come by and preach for me. They need to hear that message. It was a second fiddle message. Because I didn't think it was much. But brothers and sisters, God wanted to get the glory. It's all His anyway. Hallelujah. I'm getting... My wife always says, I don't wait for Brother Collins just to call me out. I plan on getting up there. Today I was planning on going over there and playing my harps. And he always turns around and the spotlight comes in on me and I walk up there with my golden harmonica right up to the forefront. I thought about loading them down there at the front seat, but I thought if I start getting feedback, I'll make more of an excuse and more of a disturbance than if I just walk right out there in the front. I'm not doing it to play, to tickle your ear. I asked God years ago to help me learn those harmonicas. Trade in a guitar, and I got 12 harmonicas for that trade-in. And I got me a book, Brother Gary, and I determined to learn the harmonicas. Yes, I've heard some better players. Yes, I've heard a lot greater players. But one of the harmonicas that I started out with, my Papa Ferguson through my grandma, I got one of Papa's harmonicas. And brothers and sisters, I've had people tell me, I can feel the anointing of the Lord when you begin to play. Hey, musician, you're not trying to tickle your ivories. You're not trying to bend those strings to impress man. You're a second fiddle. We're here to lift up the one, God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I was preaching my guts out not too long ago at a church close to here. I said, you know, just out of kindness, I'll say amen to a preacher. I made him a little bit mad because I started preaching on the Vietnamese people that I met. Well, I made him mad, then I made him laugh. I guess God did it all at once, because right after I made him mad about saying that, because they were sitting back there talking to one another and playing with the babies, and these wasn't children, these were 50-year-old women. And you've been there, Brother Jimmy. And it made me kind of upset. I thought, my family begged me to go to the highway, but I had an obligation. The man met me. I said, I'll go. I went to try to be a blessing. I didn't went thinking I was going to do anything great, but I went to get in the second fiddle spot and do my best. You know, a second fiddle makes sure his fiddle's in tune, just like the first fiddle player. He does, Brother Dave. Well, man, I've sat up there with 36 messages before. Never even been asked to say hallelujah. But man, I've been ready. I've been ready. And then I felt sorry sometimes when I've been called upon. I think, oh Lord, I wish somebody else would have preached. You all may think that tonight, and I'm sorry if you do. But let me break some news to you. We're leaving out of here, and I don't know when I'm going to be back. But brothers and sisters, I could have already been gone, but we stayed around for business. We stayed around, number two, because we are getting fed. Brother Paul Blanton got up and said some stuff about how he likes to soak it all in, and that's what we've been doing. And now what we're going to do, we're going to take the revival spirit we've got a hold of. Have you been watching my little girls? They've been getting into seeking God, along with other little girls. They needed that. And you know what, Sister Hazel, they're going to go on fire to this camp meeting I'm going to. And I hope they set some other young people on fire. And I hope they set some other young people on fire. And I hope they set some other young people on fire. Glory to God, we're filled up to the brim. And I'm still thirsty. And I'm getting ready to go out and get my position. I'm going to go walking in with my fiddle. Glory to God, I'm not going to take first position. But when they call on a second fiddle, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. Brother Collins, you know it was a miracle that those 12 walked with Jesus. They had Matthew, who was a tax collector, working for the Romans, taking as much as he could without making them cause up into a riot. Then they had Simon the Zealot, who was against the Romans, who fought the Romans. And now, because they're following Jesus, they're all in one band. But you know what they're arguing? Give me that elbow room. Give me that elbow. We're not playing basketball. They like to, somebody said, me and my brother play it like football, and it ain't fair. Mike Allen's brother never has came back and played another basketball game since me and Mark had him on the floor more than what he was on his feet that night. And we weren't trying to hurt him. We just knew how to use our body and box him out. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to be the one to push somebody else forward. I'm going to be the one to say, go ahead with God. Hallelujah. Paul Blanton walked in last night. I thought, oh, Lord. Everybody else probably thinks Mike should take off. But I said, Norman, all we want to do is get a blessing. You know why, Brother Paul, God helped so much last night by the power of God? Because we, every one of us preachers and all of you all, was saying, God anoint him that he might lift up Jesus, that we all might get in one mind and one accord and get a touch of God's glory and power. Ah, hallelujah, there ain't nothing like it, is it? I learned one lesson right after I first got saved. Prayed around these altars with other people. When God pours out the blessing on the one that you're helping to pray for, he don't stop it with just that one. He'll spread it on to the one that you're praying for. And some of the best times I've ever shouted in my life is when I've been amening other preachers. The power of God fall. Next thing I know, I've picked over a few chairs and had to make me a big old wide swath so I could shout myself happy. I come in a hair jumping off that base last night and running, but I had to make sure it was God because I was feeling so good. I just about started heading down the tops of these pews. But brother, I got to be in the spirit. That's just all there is to it. These size 15s getting away too much. But you know what? When I get my second fiddle out and I get in the spirit, God never let me step on nobody's toes. Hallelujah. There's always been room for me to shout. How many wants to play second fiddle? Man, the world don't knock you down, Gary, to get your position. Sister Collins talked a little bit more this morning on some of the stuff that's been on my mind. And Brother Paul Blanton preached this morning right online. I said he preached right online. Some people don't know all the things he was saying. But glory to God, it was food. It was spiritual manna. It was helping this old boy. And I said, thank God I was here to get a blessing. You can cut this out of tape if you want. But we've got the best musicians. I mean, I've not been everywhere, but I have been from Texas to Pennsylvania to Florida and Oklahoma and a few places in between. Some places I didn't even know where I was at. Had to ask what state I was in when I was there. But glory to God, a lot of times I'll have one guitar player. Or they'll have one steel player. Or they have one nice piano player. And that's about all they got. And if he's not careful, he's so stuck on himself. Now, if you hear this tape and you think I'm preaching on you, you're wrong then. I didn't know nothing about what you're doing. But you, Mr. Musician, you're not here to try to put on a show. But Brother Eddie and Brother Jeff, Brother Berkeley, and I hate to say this, but my brother Mark. See, I bought a banjo one time, let Mark play it, and then I got rid of it. Now he's got him another one. I always tell everybody how good he can play banjo. And don't you like it? I do. What I'm trying to say, though, is I think we've got a bunch of musicians, and I probably left somebody else out, but, man, I've noticed that everyone takes the second fiddle position. I really believe that. And I'm not very wise, but I have been back there on the bass years ago, and I've told a lot of them guys, as much as we like to hear you play, we'd much rather hear you pray and stay in there. As much as I love to hear you play and tickle them strings. And man, sometimes if you ever see me over there, I'm just soaking in that good music. But more than that, I'd rather hear you pray every once in a while and stay on fire for God and stay anointed. Now here's what I was going to say. I looked over at Brother Blanton this morning. I said, man, this is like the Holiness Grand Ole Opry. I mean, and I loved it. We had great talent. We had great musicians. I'm not knocking nobody. I'm lifting them high. They was doing it all for the glory of the Lord. Every one of them could have been on the road somewhere making money last night, hand over fist. But you know what? They're giving their talent to the Lord. They're playing the second fiddle. And God honors that. I said, Brother Paul, listen here, Brother Crouch. I said, Brother Paul, when we go to that Martha White Flower commercial, get ready because you're on next. If you ever listened to the Grand Ole Opry, you don't know what I'm talking about. And I did years ago, and I know what I'm talking about. But brothers and sisters, I said, you couldn't get no better talent. We didn't charge you no dime. We didn't charge you no dollar. It was all free will offering. But I'm telling you what, we're blessed. And we don't realize it. And Brother Paul, if we ever get to the position that anybody here, any singer, oh, glory to God. You know, I'm just preaching on, just playing second fiddle, and I'm preaching from my heart. That's all I know how to preach. But brother, can I tell you right now that as good as I can sing, you heard me now. Usually I get to testify and ruin my voice. But as good as I can sing, I've had people come to us and say, you know, we was going to sing that song, but that's your song now. Oh, come on now. I ain't got no monopoly on no songs. Get in there and sing it. Sing it with the anointing. I'll take the second fiddle position and back you all the way. We heard a song while we was traveling on Trail of Tears. Somebody come to us later and said, man, we've been working on that. I said, go ahead and go with it. In fact, I like to include everybody anyway. As far as I'm concerned, when we get up to do anything, the whole church could get up and back and get in. Hey, brothers and sisters, we need more people that'll lead somebody to Jesus. That'll be leading somebody to the Lord. All day long, I've had you on my heart. We've been laughing because every time I was young and wasn't married, all my dates came to Randy's house. But brothers and sisters, he brought people to the Lord. It wouldn't have been church. He used to bring Donnie time after time after time. And you know what? Church wasn't church without Donnie. And he's brought other people to the Lord. That's an Andrew spirit. That's your second fiddle player. Brother, if you sit on the front seat just because you want to be seen, you're in the wrong spirit. But if you're here because you want to get something from God, you're in the right spirit. Brother, hey, this old boy right here said, I want to get up here tonight with you. Is that all right? I said, man, get on up there. But if you're up there to be seen, you're in the wrong spirit. If you're up there to be seen and look pretty, you're in the wrong spirit. We're here to be workers. We're here to pray for one another. Hallelujah. We're here to work these orders. Is it okay, Dustin? Am I preaching all right? Say amen every once in a while. We had a visiting preacher come here not too long ago. And I had to ask forgiveness after I said it to him. But he preached good. He had souls in the altar travailing. And he's back there talking to another one of our preachers. And something went all over me. And I said, you got souls in the altar. Get down there and pray. Then I went back to him. I said, man. And I was playing the bass later because I was helping work the altar. Then I got on the bass to help him with the song. And he came to me, and I started to tell him I was sorry. And when I went to say I was sorry, pow, I cracked him in the head with the guitar. I said, man, I'm giving you a hard way to go tonight. But when you go home with that lump, remember what I said. I didn't mean to be hateful. But preachers have told me all across the country, one thing we like about your ministry, Mike, you work them altars. Brother Cox, they're watching. We preach our heart out. We lead somebody to Jesus. Now let's introduce them to Jesus. Now let's pray with them. Now let's pray with them. Hallelujah. Put a number one on a blackboard. I probably told it here, but I love it. Put a zero in front of that, and all you got is a one. Put 10 zeros in front of that. You back them zeros up. All you come up to is number one. Put 50 in front of that. All you come up to is number one. Put 100 in front of that. All you come up to is number one. But if you put Jesus Christ in front, you put him first in your life, and take this big old zero named Mike Barker and put him right behind that one as you're pushing Jesus first. Take your second fiddle position. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, he'll take nothing like me and make 10. He'll take nothing like you and make 100. He'll take nothing like you and make 1,000. Glory to God. You know what we do when we become nothing and begin to push Jesus Christ? He makes something out of nothing. One of the favorite books I've ever read in my life, or ever heard of in my life, never have got to read it. I'm going to close with this. Was a man named, a little black man named William Duma. I've told the story before, and I'm going to tell it again. Leonard Ravenhill came to Middletown, Ohio in 1986, preached a pastor's conference. May the 13th of 1986, he preached for about 3 or 4 days. A guy I worked with at the time, I was working second shift. He come to me and said, Leonard Ravenhill, you ever had any books? I said, man, do I ever. I love him. He said, he's preaching right down here at Town Boulevard. He said, I'm going to get you all the tapes. I got all the tapes. I loaned all the tapes out. Except for one. Message number 3A. Leonard Ravenhill preaching on Elijah Prayed. It's not even the whole message. He preached so long they had to put on two tapes. But I loaned all my tapes out. And now for the last 8 years, I've been looking for where all my tapes went to. And if any of you preachers got any of my tapes, I'd like to have a copy back so I get some of those messages. He's dead and in the grave now, Leonard Ravenhill is. But I wanted to share the good news. I wanted to share the good news of the message. But he told a story about a little black man, Brother Phil Pott, named William Duma. He got saved in a missionary service. Just prayed, simple little prayer at the altar. Went home that day, came back the next night, had the same striped suit on. He came to the altar, got the missionary's hand and said, give me a church. He said, I can't give you no church. He said, give me a church. What I've got inside, I can't keep to myself. Give me a church. He said, man, you've not even been to seminary. He said, wait, did you just pray last night? He said, yes. But thank God I got introduced to Jesus. And I can't keep quiet about what I got now. I've got to tell somebody. He said, we can't give you no church. He took off out into the fields and then went into the jungle or the woods, whatever it was. But he began to follow a footpath. Then he came to a creek and began to follow the creek and he came to a cave. And he went in that cave. He went in that cave. And he stayed and drunk the water in the creek and stayed in that cave. Listen to me now. 21 days. Fasting and seeking God. Brother Ray, he didn't come out William Duma. He came out playing second fiddle. I'm telling you what. When we learn to die out and exalt Him, brothers and sisters, we're going to see some lives change. When they look at you and say, he ain't the same man I knew years ago. He's not. He's been introduced to Jesus Christ. Somebody in church was playing second fiddle. Somebody led him to the Lord. And now he's a changed man. I heard one of the best testimonies I ever heard in my life the other night after I preached that in Newport, Kentucky. It was by Brother Mike Hines. He said, Brother Barker, after I got saved, somebody for months could just come to me and say, I got saved. And he said, I'd break down and bawl like a baby for a half an hour. He said, I couldn't even say thank God. He said, I'd break down and cry. He said, because Mike, I was so wicked. I deserved death. But the Lord reached down and saved me. That's a second fiddle player, brother. I said, that's a second fiddle player. I said, Mike, it's the best testimony. I've heard fiery testimonies, but I've never heard one so great of a tender heart. That's thankful what the Lord done for him. Thank God, thank God, thank God. William Dewey went back to the man, said, give me a church. And that man said, we can't give you a church. He said, give me a church. Well, they said, okay, he won't leave us alone. They gave him a little bitty shack by the side of a railroad tracks. They done it as a joke. They said, he'll last us about a month. He'll get tired of that. Brothers and sisters, he didn't have nothing much to offer. But he had an experience with the Lord. And he knew how to take his fiddle position and play second fiddle. And he knew how to bring people to the Lord. They're not wanting to hear you in this altar. Tell them how many years you've been saved, how much you know about the Scriptures. They're like the man that came up here this morning. They're wanting to hear that the Lord is merciful, that He's not a respecter of persons, that He's long-suffering, that He's willing to save the whosoever will, that if they confess their sins, He's faithful and just to forgive their sins, and that He's not a respecter of persons, that He'll help those that are seeking after Him. They need help. They don't need to know how much you've done or how many years you've been around. They need to just be introduced to the Lord. William Dunham began to fill that little shack up because he began to have miracles with God. God began to use him. People began to get saved. What they done as a joke, the religious world, he said, God, I'm just wanting to tell people about your sons. All I'm wanting to do. I'm not trying to be seen. I'm not trying to lift up my name. But I'm just trying to bring people to Jesus. They begin to pack that shed out. They begin to pack that shack out. He began to bring people to the Lord. Hallelujah. He began to see people get saved. Then he began to see people get healed. And the little children that played in the little towns and villages, when he would come walking by, they'd say, there's the man that God walks with. There's the man who lives with, that God lives with. They said, hallelujah. Hey, all them guys could quote scriptures around him, and I love education, and I want more of it. Thank God I need more of it. But glory to God, I want more of Jesus. I want to preach more about his love. I want to preach more about his mercy. He walked in to pray for a man in the hospital one time. And the lady said, he's in a ward or room 13. And the two men from his church was with him, and they grabbed William Doom and said, that's the more. He said, God said, go pray for the man. So he went. You know, I just said, oh, we missed it. He said, God said, go pray for him. God didn't tell me to get his medical chart and read everything about what's wrong with him, what the doctor said. God didn't tell me to go trace his family history, see how many times his family members died of his ailment. God said, go pray for him. And that's what the second fiddle player did. Walked into the morgue, prayed for the man. The man sneezed, came back to life. They didn't leave with three, they left with four. Glory to God. Came walking out of there, tore the whole village up. Glory to God. You know why? Because a little man, here's the key to it right here. The second fiddle player could have got lifted up, but he continually went back every year at the same time down that old footpath and followed that old creek to the same cave. And they said every year at the same time he went in for 21 days alone with God. Everybody talks, still to this day, I was in Newport, Kentucky this last week. We was there Friday night. Some people was talking about Claude Ely. He's been dead. I've been saved going on 19 years. He's been dead. I've been saved over 19 years. He's been dead. He was dead a few years before I ever got saved. But you know why I still talk about him? Because he always learned how to play second fiddle. He always went in there. Brother Philpott told me a lot about him. Brother Philpott, the man, got alone with God, kept the anointing with God, kept the power with God. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray. Brother Collins, you're my pastor. And sometimes I said, man, if Brother Collins would just call one pastor and say, you know, that boy's from my church and he's out here trying to preach. But the only thing Brother Collins ever told me to do was a life of faith is a great life if you don't weaken. And for over a year and a half now, I've tried not to weaken. But every door is open, Brother Ronnie. It wasn't because I was Papa Collins' grandson, or Brother Collins' son, or Brother Collins' nephew, or Ralph Horton's son. And I'm not knocking none of that. I understand them preachers. They know that background. And I understand that they let a stranger up, they can tear a church down in one service. And I understand all that. But sometimes the devil jumps on your back. But you know what? That's the devil of politics. And we don't need politics. We need people that get a hold of God. And I can say this, thank God, I'm not setting every place on fire. I'm far from it. But thank God I've learned one position. Every church I ever went to had a spot up there waiting for me. It's second fiddle. It's second fiddle. Brother Lee Strickler bragged on me because I came to hear another preacher preach. But I went, Sister Collins, because I wanted my family fed. And the devil will say the first thing to you, you're out there preaching, and it takes offerings to get to the next spot, and you've got a place to go preach. But I said, Lord, I feel like we should go that night. We went to hear another preacher preach from Alabama, Brother Futrell. I got blessed. My girls got blessed. My wife got blessed. And God didn't forget about me. Before I left that place, I had gas money to get to the next place. And I said, devil, every time you come fighting me, you're always put down. But you know, he's stupid. He just don't learn. He just don't learn. But you know what? I look in the mirror every day, and I realize how much I've got to grow. And I realize just how low I am. But thank God, I look sometimes past the mirror when I get on my knees, and I realize how high he is and how great he is. And if I could just tell somebody, not about Mike Barker, but if I could tell them about Jesus, that's what they need to hear. That's what they need to hear. Hey, second fiddle players, let's back every preacher that comes along. Because for years, Somebody one time made a smart remark. I don't even think they're even here tonight. If they are, they'll have to pray through when I give the altar call. But they said, Barker, Barker, Barker. That's all we ever hear is the Barkers. Yeah. I said, Norman, I've been in this church since 1980. Been in this church since 1980. And except for pastoring. And for years, I wasn't asked to even take up an offering. It didn't bother me. I wasn't wanting to. I was just praying, fasting, seeking God, getting blessed, and having a great time. But now, every once in a while, I get asked to take prayer requests or preach a prayer service. And I say, thank God. I'll put my best scuff mark forward, do my best for the Lord. And that's what I'm going to do all along, wherever I go. We're leaving out Tuesday or Monday evening. We're still undecided how much we can get loaded and get going. But brother, sister, I just ask one thing. Pray for my family. Pray for me and pray that God will help us. We're not going to preach. We're going to go help out some camp meetings that I've been asked to come to help out. And then I'm going to preach in Norfolk, Virginia. Then I'm going to another camp meeting. And then I've got other places to preach. And then I've got to be back here in Kentucky on the 14th of May. And then after that, I'm going to Georgia. And I probably won't see you again until the youth camp. But I love every one of you. I appreciate everything you've all done for us. I met people who've been buying me shirts and ties that fit where I could even tuck the tie in the bottom of the bottom of the thing, and big men's ties. And I mean, I just you all are my family, and I just love one another. I appreciate you, brothers and sisters. Let's all take the low road and put Jesus before us and before the world. You all don't know this, but me and my wife were talking the other day, and I've got you on your feet. And I got to hurry, but you can see a lot of change in 3 months when you're gone. Some's for the better and some's for the worse. Please do me a favor. Keep growing. Please keep growing. Let's all find a place to pray. Let's all seek God. We're going to have a great service tonight because I'm going to get in, and I hope you will too.